188.
O ye the cherished loved ones of Abdu'l-Bahá, it is a long time now since my inward ear hath heard any sweet melodies out of certain regions, or my heart been gladdened, and this despite the fact that ye are ever present in my thoughts and standing clearly visible before my sight. Filled to overflowing is the goblet of my heart with the wine of the love I bear you, and my yearning to set eyes upon you streameth like the spirit through my arteries and veins. From this it is clear how great is my affliction. At this time and throughout this tempest of calamities now tossing its waves to high heaven, cruel and incessant darts are being hurled against me from every point of the compass. And at every moment here in the Holy Land, terrifying news is received, and every day bringeth its quota of horror. The centre of sedition had imagined that it needed but his arrogant rebellion to bring down the covenant and testament in ruins. It needed but this, so he thought, to turn the righteous away from the holy will. Wherefore he sent out far and wide his leaflets of doubt, devising many a secret scheme. Now he would cry out that God's edifice had been subverted and his divine commands annulled, and that accordingly the covenant and testament was abolished. Again he would set himself to sighing and groaning that he was being held a prisoner and was kept hungry and thirsty day and night. Another day he would raise an uproar, saying that the oneness of God had been denied, since another manifestation had been proclaimed prior to the expiration of 1,000 years. When he saw that his calumnies had no effect, he gradually formed a plan to incite a disturbance. He began stirring up mischief and went knocking at every door. He started making false accusations to the officials of the government. He approached some of the foreigners, made himself their intimate, and together with them prepared a document and presented it to the seat of the Sultanate, bringing consternation to the authorities. Among the many slanderous charges was this, that this hapless one had raised up a standard of revolt, a flag bearing the words, Ya Baha'u'llah Ha, that I had paraded this throughout the countryside to every city, town and village, and even among the desert tribes, and had summoned all the inhabitants to unite under this flag. O my Lord, verily I seek refuge with thee from the very thought of such an act, which is contrary to all the commandments of Baha'u'llah, and which would indeed be a mighty wrong that none but a grievous sinner would ever perpetrate. For thou hast made it incumbent upon us to obey the rulers and kings. Another of his slanders was that the shrine on Mount Carmel was a fortress that I had built, strong and impregnable. This when the building under construction compriseth 6 rooms, and that I had named it Medina the Resplendent, while I had named the holy tomb Mecca the Glorified. Yet another of his calumnies was that I had established an independent sovereignty, and that, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid, I had summoned all the believers to join me in this massive wrongdoing. How dire, O my Lord, is his slander. Yet again he claimeth that since the holy shrine hath become a point visited by pilgrims from all over the world, great damage will accrue to this government and people. He, the centre of sedition, averreth that he himself hath had no hand in all these matters, that he is a Sunni of the Sunnites, and a devoted follower of Abu Bakr and Omar, and regardeth Baha'u'llah as only a pious man and a mystic. all these things he saith were set afoot by this wronged one. To be brief, a commission of investigation was appointed by the Sultan, may the glory of his reign endure. The commission journeyed hither, and immediately upon arrival betook themselves to the house of one of the accusers. They then summoned the group who, working with my brother, had prepared the accusatory document, and asked them whether it was true. The group explained the contents of the document, stated that everything they had reported therein was nothing but the truth, and added further accusations. Thus they functioned at one and the same time as plaintiffs, witnesses, and judge. The commission hath now returned to the seat of the caliphate, and reports of a most frightful nature are coming in daily from that city. However, praise be God, Abdu'l-Bahá remaineth composed and unperturbed. To none do I bear ill will because of this defamation. I have made all my affairs conditioned upon his irresistible will, and I am waiting, indeed in perfect happiness, to offer my life and prepared for whatever dire affliction may be in store. Praise be to God, the loving believers also accept and remain submissive to God's will, content with it, radiantly acquiescent, offering thanks. The centre of sedition hath imagined that once the blood of this wronged one is spilled out, once I have been cast away on the wide desert sands, or drowned in the Mediterranean Sea, nameless, gone, without trace, with none to tell of me, then would he at last have a field where he could urge his steed ahead, and with his mallet of lies and doubts hit hard at the polo ball of his ambitions and carry off the prize. Far from it, for even if the sweet musk scent of faithfulness should pass and leave no trace behind, who would be drawn by the stench of perfidy? And even if some gazelle of heaven were to be ripped apart by dogs and wolves, who would go running to seek out a ravening wolf? Even should the day of the mystic nightingale draw to its close, who would ever lend his ear to the raven's croak or the cawing of the crow? What an empty supposition is his! What a foolish presumption! Their works are like the vapour in a desert, which the thirsty dreameth to be water, until when he cometh unto it, he findeth nothing. O ye loved ones of God, be ye firm of foot and fixed of heart, and through the power of the Blessed Beauty's help stand ye committed to your purpose. Serve ye the cause of God. Face ye all nations of the world with the constancy and the endurance of the people of Baha, that all men may be astounded and ask how this could be, that your hearts are as wellsprings of confidence and faith, and as minds so rich in the love of God. Be ye so, that ye shall neither fail nor falter on account of these tragedies in the Holy Land. Let not these dread events make you despondent. And if all the believers be put to the sword, and only one be left, let that one cry out in the name of the Lord and tell the joyous tidings. Let that one rise up and confront all the peoples of the earth. Gaze ye not upon the dire happenings at this illumined spot. The Holy Land is in danger at all times, and here the tide of calamities is ever at the flood. For this upraised call hath now been heard around the world, and the fame of it hath gone forth to the ends of the earth. It is because of this that foes, both from within and from without, have turned themselves with subtlety and craft to spreading slander. It is clear that such a place as this would be exposed to danger, for there is no defender here, none to arise and take our side in the face of calumny. Here are only a few souls that are homeless, hapless, held captive in this stronghold. No champions have they. There is none to succour them, none to ward off the arrows of lies, the darts of defamation that are hurled against them. None except God. It behooveth you to ponder on all those well-beloved ones who hasten to the holy field of sacrifice, those precious souls who offered up their lives. Bear ye in mind what streams of sacred blood were poured away, how many a righteous heart was commingled with its gore, how many a breast was the target of tyranny's spear, how many a chaste body was ripped to shreds. How then could it be right for us even to think of saving ourselves, to curry favour with stranger or kin, and make a show of compromise? Should we not rather take the pathway of the righteous and follow in the footsteps of those great ones gone before? These few brief days shall pass away. This present life shall vanish from our sight. The roses of this world shall be fresh and fair no more. The garden of this earth's triumphs and delights shall droop and fade. The spring season of life shall turn into the autumn of death. The bright joy of palace halls give way to moonless dark within the tomb. And therefore, is none of this worth loving at all? And to this the wise will not anchor his heart. He who hath knowledge and power will rather seek out the glory of heaven and spiritual distinction and the life that dieth not. And such a one longeth to approach the sacred threshold of God, for in the tavern of this swiftly passing world the man of God will not lie drunken, nor will he even for a moment take his ease, nor stain himself with any fondness for this earthly life. Nay, rather, the friends are stars in the high heavens of guidance, celestial bodies in the skies of divine grace, who with all their powers put the dark to flight. They break down the foundations of malevolence and hate. They cherish but one desire for the world and all its peoples, well-being and peace. By them the ramparts of warfare and aggression are battered down. They have truthfulness and honest dealing and friendship for their goal, and kindness even toward a vicious foe, until at last they change this prison of treachery, the world, into a mansion of utmost trust, and turn this jailhouse of hatred and malevolence and spite into God's paradise. O ye loving friends, strive ye with heart and soul to make this world the mirror image of the kingdom, that this netherworld may teem with the blessings of the world of God, that the voices of the company on high may be raised in acclamation, and signs and tokens of the bounties and bestowals of Baha'u'llah may encompass all the earth. Jenaba Amin hath expressed the greatest admiration for you honoured men and enlightened women, naming and commending you each by each, telling at length of the firmness and constancy ye have all shown, saying that, God be praised, in all Persia, the men and women are standing together, straight, strong, immovable, a mighty edifice solidly raised up, and that ye are engaged with love and joy in spreading abroad the sweet savours of the Lord. These were tidings of great joy, especially as they have reached me in these days of extreme peril. For the dearest wish of this wronged one is that the friends be spiritual of heart and illumined of mind. And once this grace is granted me, calamity, however afflictive, is but bounty pouring down upon me like copious rain. O God, my God, thou seest me plunged in an ocean of anguish, held fast to the fires of tyranny, and weeping in the darkness of the night. Sleepless I toss and turn upon my bed, mine eyes straining to behold the morning light of faithfulness and trust. I agonize, even as a fish, its inward parts afire as it leapeth about in terror upon the sand. Yet I ever look for thy bestowals to appear from every side. O God, my God, make thou the believers in other lands to partake of thine abounding grace. Deliver thou, by thine unfailing help and bounty, whoso among thy loved ones in the farthermost climes sigheth over the bitter cruelty of his foe. O Lord, they are the captives of thy love, the prisoners taken by thy troops. They are the birds that fly in the heavens of thy guidance, the whales that swim in the ocean of thy bestowals, the stars that sparkle on the horizon of thy gifts. They are the defenders of the fortress of thy law. They are the banners of thy remembrance amongst men. They are the deep wells of thy divine compassion, the fountains of thy favours, the wellsprings of thy grace. Keep them ever in safety beneath thine all-protecting eye. Assist them to exalt thy word. Make thou their hearts to be constant in thy love. Strengthen thou their backs, that they may serve thee well. In servitude, strengthen thou their powers. Spread thou through them thy sweet savours far and wide. Expound through them thy holy writ. Make known through them thine utterance, fulfil through them thy words, through them pour out thy mercy. Thou art verily the mighty, the powerful, thou art verily the clement, the compassionate.